Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Heralded as one of the UK's standout talents is London-based singer-songwriter Allegra. She has established her presence in the UK music landscape, admired for her distinctive fusion of passion and pop sensibility. Her unwavering determination and infectious sound have propelled her towards ever-increasing commercial success, with Round and Round amassing nearly 6 million streams. Prior to that, her singles have seen collaborations with esteemed artists such as Top Talk, Full Intention, Majestic, and Rehab. Allegra's music has appeared on hundreds of daytime radio playlists, and she has been featured in countless feature press articles, as well as on BBC TV. Since Allegra's debut single, All About Us, reached the number 2 position on the UK's official Music Week commercial pop club chart in 2021, she has repeated that success with a run of 7 top 3 singles on that same chart, with her most recent Love You Right Back reaching number 2. Her chart positions have been worldwide, reaching number 1 on iTunes, UAE, as well as achieving a top 10 position on the Billboard Dance Chart in the USA, and many other official chart placements worldwide. Allegra has amassed millions of views and streams across Spotify, YouTube, and other social media. She broke the dance music scene in 2023 with her collaboration with Tiësto on a remix of her track Round and Round. This success launched her into the spotlight with a number one hit on the Music Week commercial pop chart, which was followed by the dance floor anthem Love You Right Back featuring the acclaimed DJ Alok. She released her first EP in 2024 called Unsent Love Letters Volume 1, produced by Tim Gosden. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Allegra.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm in London right now, and I'm actually currently moving house, so I'm doing well.
Doing well. I'm sure there's all chaos around you as we discuss, have a little conversation. So thank you for your time.
No worries.
So now, Allegra, how or why did you choose the stage name Allegra? Where does it come from?
Well, actually, it's my name.
Okay.
So that helps. But no, it's actually a musical kind of Allegro. It's a musical term, actually. So it's quite fitting. It's like my parents knew when I was born. And it just kind of felt fitting, you know, because I'm in the music industry. So I said, why not? And it means happiness and welcome. So I thought, yeah.
That's cool. So what is the musical term? What is it that Allegro mean? What is that?
So the Allegro is kind of the tempo of music.
So that's sort of like the beat, whether it's slower or faster.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. I never knew that. Learning something new today. Thank you. Let's rewind. At what age did you feel cool? Do you want to be in this creative place, this music world? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
Yeah, so I think I was always interested in music since I was little and in kindergarten when you're picking up instruments. I just always put on shows when I was little for my parents and my aunt and uncles and with my cousins. So I was always interested in music and I learnt. I was more classically trained when I was younger. I played the violin. I was in the school choir, things like that. So, and then I was actually signed when I was 14 and have been developing ever since, really. So that's how I knew, you know, I could actually do it.
So how did that signing at 14, how did that happen?
Yeah, I was actually working in a studio and then I was lucky enough to do a few days writing music with a team. And they loved it so much that they pitched it to who is now my manager, Chris Herbert. And it kind of just all happened there.
And when it all happened, was it a little bit of a roller coaster and were you shocked or was like knowing that you knew this would always happen?
No, it was definitely a shock because, you know, I always performed and I always sang, but I never thought I was, I didn't know I was kind of good.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I don't care if I'm good or not, I'm going to do it anyways.
Okay.
But the fact that other people started believing in me just kind of made me believe in myself more.
Did all those processes of you signing and the people believing in you, did that allow you to think, okay, I am good?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it still takes time, and
Yes.
sometimes I do still think, oh, can I? But no, yeah, definitely. I mean, the more people around me who support me makes me think I can do it more.
Exactly, because I think we all have that thing in our brain that's like that doubt or the negativity, you know, that's like that. I call it the parrot on my shoulder that's like quacking my ears, like, you can't do it. You shouldn't do it like this. You should be like this. Blah, blah, blah. And I have to always sometimes tell it to just shut up. I'm doing
Yeah,
the best
exactly.
I can. Okay, so let's dive into your creative brain. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in writing a song, what invigorates it? What motivates it? Is it easy every time? Do you collaborate with others all the time? Let's unpack that.
Yeah, so I mean, depending how I feel on that day or what I've been going through, I mean, it's all from my personal experience. You know, it's a form of therapy. So I would go into the studio, I'd be like, ah, oh, I've been going through this, or this is irritating me. And, you know, we just unpack it, we speak about it, we say, you know, what's the message you want to write? So I, you know, work with other writers and producers. So it's always nice to learn. And yeah, it's a form of therapy, and we just work through it.
Absolutely. And what do you enjoy about performing live?
I think the people, just, you know, having that energy, everyone in the room, everyone kind of listening to the same thing, and just, it's the energy of the people.
Okay, so I've got a point of discussion like I like to have with all the artists I interview. So I'm that dude that's right in front. I'm dancing, I'm jamming. I'll take my cell phone out maybe for one or two videos, one or two photos, and I'll put my cell phone away. A lot of times these days, a lot of people are, for a lot of time of the show, they videoing, they posting, they tweeting, they doing whatever they're doing. From the person on the stage seeing a bunch of cell phones, do you find that takes away from that energy you referenced, or it's just where society is today?
I think it can take away from the energy. I mean, I understand everyone wants to remember, you know, a moment and show other people who weren't there and show it to family and friends or whatever. But, you know, I definitely think in today's world, you know, it's important to know when to put the phone down. I even do it in my day-to-day life. Sometimes when I feel overwhelmed, I'm like, right, I'm going to put my phone away. Just, you know, just really be in the moment. You can't capture everything on the phone. You know, I have family members who are like, oh, I have to take a picture of this, and I say, you know, just take a picture in your mind, take a picture in your brain, you know, and you know, you never really look back. You show that photo for 1 second, but you never go through a whole concert of all the videos you actually really took. Because we've all done it. I've done it. I went to a Beyonce concert and I videoed everything, but I've never looked back at those videos, honestly.
What are your perceptions of social media?
I think social media can be good in a way of, you know, reaching out and portraying a message and being open and giving information. But I also think it can be really harmful as well. You know, I think there's two sides to it. I mean, you're always worrying what other people are doing, if you're having a good time or not. I mean, I take breaks for sure because I can get overwhelmed. But, you know, it's also a very good thing, you know, keeping up with friends and just information and things.
Obviously, because you're putting yourself there as Allegra, as an artist. And obviously, a lot of times fans, we love the fans, just shouting out to all the fans, we love the fans. So
Yeah.
a lot of fans sometimes they perceive that they know you. You know, they know you personally because they're following you every day, they're following the posts. Have you ever had a situation where you've met a fan who we love, just saying, a fan that thinks comes up to you like they know you like a friend from observing every day? And then sort of there's a bit of a disconnect because you've never met them before or aren't sure they who they are. Have you ever had that type of situation?
I have had that situation. You know, love the fans. I wouldn't
Yes.
be here
We
without them for sure.
have to keep saying that. We love you guys.
Yes. No, we do. We do. And it was a bit more difficult because it was COVID when that happened.
Yeah.
So everyone was wearing masks.
Oh,
So
yes.
someone came up to me and, you know, said, oh, hi, Allegra. And I thought it was a friend or someone I didn't recognize. You know, gave me flowers and just wanted to meet me, I guess. And it was lovely. But there was a second where I was like, who is this? I don't know who this is. Like, should I know? Like, there was that moment, but yeah, it was very sweet though.
Okay, so I was looking at your profile. You've collaborated or had remixes done by Tiesto, Alok, and a whole bunch of others. But on your bucket list now, I know this will change every time we chat. I understand that. But are there, in this moment, three artists, whether as writers, producers, or duet partners, that you'd like to collaborate with that you will be doing so at a later stage, but have not done so as yet?
I mean, you always have that dream of working with that artist or that producer or, dream collaborations and things like that. I think the way that, like, Rita Ora, I'd love to work with her because I just feel like the vibe would be good. I feel like our characters would get on. Like, we do kind of similar stuff, dance music, but also, I don't know, it's just, for me, when I think about collaborating or wanting to work with someone, it's about the energy that I think that we're going to create. Yeah, I think Rita Ora would definitely be one. I think Becky Hill would also be super, super fun. Yeah, I mean, who else? I think Dua Lipa would be really insane to work with too.
Absolutely. Great mix there. Now, what's the appeal for you for dance music? Why were you attracted to create that type of energy with music?
I think at the start, so I've always loved dancing. always going on the way to school and listening to the radio and getting in the mood, even though if I wasn't in the mood to go to school. But I think, there's a great kind of feel to dance music, and it also has the memories of kind of summer and things like that. And as much as I've loved doing all this dance music and stuff, I am taking a bit of a step away from that, and trying some new things, to be honest. I still love it. I'm still going to create it, but I'm not gonna focus on that particular area as much.
Okay, so it's going to be a mix of stuff. So referencing that, what's happening for the rest of the year, next beginning of next year, what are the plans? I know lots of things are secrets in the entertainment world. What can you tell us which is going to be happening?
Well, I've just released my EP, my first EP ever. So that's been really exciting, and nerve-wracking because I've been working on it for just over a year. So it's like my little baby. But I'd say I have another EP. So the first one is volume one and there's a volume two coming. So yeah, that's what's happening at the
So
moment.
releasing the first one, was it scariness and nervousness for how people would react and respond to it? Or what were those feelings coming up for that?
I think, yeah, definitely of what people would think because it was the first time I was releasing kind of a body of work, a few songs at the same time. And I think, I'm a perfectionist and I wanted it to kind of be perfect. And, because I've lived with these songs for, just a year, because I've been hearing them, I pick up and I'm like, oh, now I'm bored. Now I don't like this. And you live with it a bit too long and you're like, oh, I want to change it. I actually changed one of the songs like 2 weeks before the release, which is not really meant to happen, but I did it anyways. I think it was just, I want it to be good enough, really, because it was the first time I was releasing things and people can judge and either hate or love you by the end of it. So yeah.
Whatever you do out there, whenever anyone puts themselves out there in whatever field, even in the corporates, you'll always have people who will be have the negatives and positives. It just comes with life, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Allegra, I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 hours, 20 minutes, 5 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and
Yeah.
recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push
Okay.
play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, your face, what would those five songs be and by
Oh
whom? Just top of
my
mind. Or
gosh.
if you can't think
Okay.
of five songs, five artists.
So I think the first thing that came to mind was Wanna Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. I'm always dancing to it. So that's number one. Number two would be any of the ABBA. You can't go wrong with ABBA. I love
Absolutely.
all their songs.
And did you hear what I said? Absolutely, pun intended.
Yes, exactly. I think also Beyonce, if I had to pick one, which one would it be? Maybe an old one, actually, EXO.
Okay.
By Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's number three.
Yes, two more.
I have to say Amy Winehouse, Valerie, and this is such a tough game. Can you call it a game?
I know, but it's just again in 2 minutes, you'd have a different five. That's...
Yeah. And then I would probably choose... oh my gosh. I can't think, to be honest, though. If I had to think anything... You're really putting me on the spot.
No,
I
it's
can't
okay.
choose.
No, that's okay. Let's leave it at that because you gave all of ABBA's songs. So let's leave it at that because that equates to lots of music.
Yeah, exactly. You
there
can
we go.
Do that for ages.
So, Allegra, I love me a CD. For me, I love the journey of the energy exchange between myself and you guys, artists who do such hard work. I love the journey of the choice of the experience of unpacking the booklet, the playing from one song, one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware that vinyls, CDs, and even cassettes are massive comeback. In Asia, they just opened up a vinyl factory that had been closed for 50 years. In the UK, CDs are on the uptake in the sense that in the UK, there's a basket of products that you guys use to gauge tax purposes. Vinyls have been in that basket. And now because of the upsurge of CDs, they also back in the basket. And the research is showing that it's the younger people, the teenagers, the early 20s, they are diving into the physical world. But we've also got these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations and perceptions of the landscape at the moment?
So I would say, you know, I listen on Spotify for everything. That's, I don't know, I think because it's quick and easy, obviously, and I love creating playlists.
Yes.
I love to create playlists for every mood, if it's my... running playlist, my dance get ready playlist. So, you know, that is a platform I use. But I also remember a time, you know, where my mom would be driving in the car and she'd have all the CDs and it would be, who are we going to play now? And, you know, I really remember those kind of moments and it kind of brings back kind of childhood, you know, like James Blunt, Taylor yeah. Swift's early music. And even, Amy McDonald's.
Yes.
Love her. And that's kind of like, you know, I want my kids to have that kind of memories. I don't want them to have it all on their phones and iPads and things like that. So I think our generation is definitely wanting to bring that kind of sense of, like, I don't know, magic back,
yeah,
I guess, instead of everything being quick and easy. So... Yeah, I mean, I have a younger brother, he's 11, and he's just on the iPad kind of picking things up quickly. And I'm like, oh, he doesn't have that memories of putting the CDs on in the car and things like that, you know? And it's interesting to see the differences.
It is actually. And it is, as you said, it's magical experiences. Allegra, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
As a final message, I'd say, you know, keep being positive. The end of the year is coming soon. I know it might be a bit cold in some places. Christmas is coming and it's the beginning of new things.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.